This is Along the Way, a podcast showcasing the culture and meaning behind the For This Way, our values in action. In each episode, we will chat with people from across our firm for insights on how they bring our cultural DNA to life. These are the stories that make us one For This and that drive us to unlock the potential of all whom we serve. Without further ado, welcome to Along the Way.
Thank you for joining us today on Along the Way. I'm your host, Mike Brothers, and today we're going to be talking about one of the key pillars of the unmatched client experience, and that is be responsive. And I'm very excited to be joined today by John Kmetz. He's our national assurance leader for the firm, and John served on the committee that helped come up with our unmatched client experience standards that are such an important part of our DNA. And as we all know, the unmatched client experience is such a key aspect of our firm, of who we are and who we strive to be. And so I'm excited to have John here today. John, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I'm excited and grateful to be here with you. Helping with this book was probably one of the great experiences of my career so far. Just really proud to be part of that team and really excited by the end product. I think culture matters a lot. And I think that book really sums up our culture. You know, it came from our culture as an output rather than us defining it and, you know, creating a culture around an idea. This really did come out of what was already there. And I think that really makes it unmistakably For This. So I'm really proud to be part of it.
Yeah. You said comes out of what was already there. That's one of the really the key things I like about our culture and the firms that have come together is it really is who we are, but it is also who we strive to be. And that's why I'm excited to chat about this. So just a quick recap, be responsive is one of the three pillars as part of our unmatched client experience. John, what does it mean to you to be responsive? And why was this such an important thing to include in our DNA in that UCX book as you referenced?
Right. One of those pillars. That's a great question. I think when people talk about responsiveness in our business, they're often referring to the timeliness aspect. There's another aspect of responsiveness that I think is maybe even more important, and that's the whole receptiveness or engagement, you know, how we engage in our relationships and how we communicate that engagement is really a huge part about being responsive, not just the time turnaround. So to me, responsiveness doesn't imply just reactive, where we're just waiting to hear from others so that we can react. Responsiveness is really in the context of an entire relationship, which means a level of understanding as to what the client needs, and which, by the way, means listening a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Another one of our pillars, and engaging real proactively with them to provide a consistent level of responsiveness. So, for example, you could react to a client's request for a planning meeting by running through your team and trying to figure out if people can meet and when they can meet and replying back a few days later. Or you could reply immediately and copy that whole team and look for times that everyone could meet, which is probably better, right? Better answer. Or you could be really engaged with the client, talking to them proactively throughout the year, asking them questions, knowing what they have coming up and that it's, you know, whatever project is coming up, gathering the right people, finding some times we could all meet and proactively sending them to them. So I look at it as the first one's not bad, right? We responded, but not super quick. The second one is better. We responded immediately. But if we can get to the third one, which is we're proactively understanding and engaged, that to me is where the magic happens and really where we show responsiveness. And to me, the reason you ask about the UCX and why it's one of the pillars, I think it really does permeate our DNA in that For This Way. In order to, you know, be your best self, or in order to excel or to build or to lead, you have to be responsive to those around you, whether it's your clients or your colleagues. So I would say that proactive engagement is at the heart of responsiveness. I don't know how you could be responsive if you're not really engaged. And a large part of this is really simple. It's just listening, paying attention, understanding the expectations that our clients have, and then consistently meeting them or exceeding them. So I would say if you're doing that, you're building trust, you're becoming that trusted advisor that we're all seeking to be, And that is the key to unmatched client service and experience for the client, which is why it is one of those pillars.
Proactivity and maybe even a little bit of anticipation.
Sure.
Sort of thinking ahead.
Absolutely.
So in our DNA book and in our pillars, there are three aspects to this. And the first is getting back to others promptly, which really is that textbook definition of responsiveness. That's what you're talking about. Then there are two other pieces that we've identified. Seek and act on feedback and be transparent. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about those two, seeking and acting on feedback. That's that proactivity piece that you were talking about.
Right. Yeah, 100%. So obviously critical to meet or beat deadlines, right? And that first part you mentioned, when we get client feedback, whether it's good or bad, it generally relates to that timeliness aspect. So we have to do it. But after that, yeah, we're thinking about that receptivity, right? That engagement. Are you receptive to feedback and even seek it out? You know, do you seek out the tough feedback? If we've made a mistake, right, we need to trust that our teams will help us fix it. Show us how to do it better next time. And that kind of goes to, in the book, we talk about this metaphor I love of eating your frog, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have to eat a frog, don't look at it too long. And I love that because we all make mistakes, right? It happens all the time. When we do, it's important to acknowledge them and then, you know, take the next move to fix it and prevent it from happening again. And I think ours is a culture of apprenticeship, right? No one shows up day one and knows how to sign an audit report, right, or sign a tax return. So inherent in the concept is the need to be receptive to feedback. If you're not, you don't grow, you don't learn. And I would go even further with that. You know, we generally think of that internally, but when we get feedback from our clients, you know, they're just giving us a roadmap on how to serve them well and what they want and how we respond to that. So I had a client recently give some feedback that was a little bit critical on one of our teams. And it was a great conversation, right? I sincerely thanked them for it, right? Because we can't fix something if we don't know about it. We correct it, we move on, and we probably strengthen the relationship. So I think that feedback is huge. On the transparency side, you know, I'm not sure everyone fully understands when you talk about transparency. I think the book lays it out really well. I love, again, the concept of putting the moose on the table. I use that all the time with both colleagues and clients. And what I'm saying to you is I care about you. I need to share information that might be tough to hear or tough to say, but I'm going to put it out there because I care about you. I'm going to put it on the table and we're going to talk about it. And I think that's, when we say transparency, it's about that communication with your clients, with your teams, with your colleagues so that there are no surprises. It's definitely about being truthful and authentic, but it's not necessarily about just airing dirty laundry or falling on our sword every time something happens. I think Disney has a great concept that they teach their people, and they say leave backstage backstage. Clients don't want or need to see all that we deal with and all the challenges necessarily of getting their work out the door, right? But if there's areas that they can impact, we want to have those candid conversations with them. So, for example, I don't think we need to burden them with the inner workings of our scheduling process. But on the flip side, if we're scheduled and they don't deliver on the PBCs they've promised us on a certain date when we show up, I think it's fair to have a transparent, respectful discussion about rescheduling their work. So, you know, bottom line, again, it comes back to this engagement. If we're really engaged with our clients, even those tough conversations become opportunities to build a stronger relationship because they come to trust that we're going to perform. And if we can't, we will tell them and we will work a plan with them to help avoid surprises or pain down the line. To me, that is the transparency piece of this.
It kind of strikes me that we're all kind of in the communication business here, aren't we?
Yeah. No, that's well said. I think this responsiveness is as much about communication as it is about quickness.
That, I think, goes back to that apprenticeship model and something that you can just only learn over time from your colleagues, from experience, sometimes from difficult experience, but it does build up over time. What about, John, internally? Why is it important to be responsive with our colleagues within the firm as well as with clients?
Yeah, great question. I've said clients a bunch, but even again, in our UCX book, sometimes your client is someone else at Forbis, right?
Absolutely.
And I would say You know, number one, there's the aspect that's just the servant leadership part of this, right? Having a heart for serving at all levels, whether you're talking with the interns or the partners and, you know, treating each other with the same aspects we've already talked about. I think a big part of it is also, I always tell people this is a team sport. No one gets extra credit by going it alone here. And that's cultural for us. I'd say the opposite is generally true. You're not rewarded for going alone. So we built this culture and this service model on the concept of teamwork and responsiveness to clients. It's therefore obviously imperative, right, that we treat each other and serve each other in the same way. One of my engagement in charges can't be responsive to a client if I'm not responding promptly to their questions that they have as they're getting through the work. Mm-hmm. So I think too busy is a moniker that people use sometimes, right? We're very busy. And I think we have to ditch that concept of busyness. You can't be too busy to respond to a teammate because there's downstream impact on that, whether it's just morale, right? No one likes to be ignored. Or right. It could be directly impacting a client that they're trying to help, right? If Trey and the tax guys need my help on something, it's fine to tell them, hey, I can't meet until next week. But it's not okay to wait a week to respond to them because in the meantime, his client might be questioning his responsiveness. So I think you said earlier, and I think this is all about communication and engagement with each other as well to help us all, you know, meet the expectations that we're setting for our clients and setting for each other.
It is a mindset too, right? I mean, you have to get in the right mind and that, you know, maybe if we're coming from the outside, it might take a while, but I do think that the team atmosphere feeds into that. I know I've experienced that coming from an outside organization into the firm.
Right. Yeah, 100%. The great thing about responsiveness is it's generally anyone can do it, right? We're not talking about the hardest technical things that are in the firm. We're not talking about responsiveness is something that if anyone is intentional about, they can do it. And that is going to be a long way towards making them successful in whatever they're doing, whether they're serving internal firm services or, you know, serving clients directly. I truly believe that.
I thought you were going to say the thing about responsiveness is it's contagious. That's been my experience anyway.
Probably that too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you have some tips or, you know, considerations that you've learned along the way, or maybe things you've learned the hard way about being responsive?
There's a longer book of things I've learned the hard way, but yeah, I do. And I see some things that are pretty simple that I think I've picked up over the years, but I think people miss sometimes. I kind of alluded to this earlier. The first one is respond even if you can't fully respond, right? We miss this because we all want to help the clients, right? We want to be a resource for them. We want to have the answer. But sometimes all they need is a quick acknowledgement. I see you. I acknowledge you. I can't get to this right now, but you're on my radar. And I think we miss that one sometimes because we're trying to do too much. So sometimes just the simple I see you. Can I get back to you on Thursday is perfectly fine. The other one I see, and I do this sometimes, I still make this mistake sometimes, is you got to ask people when they need it, right? We generally make it harder on ourselves when we set the deadline than a client does. If you ask them simply, absolutely, I'm all over this for you. When do you need it by? It's generally usually a date later than you were building up in your mind, which means in that probably leads to the third one I was thinking about, which is, you know, this concept of under promise, over deliver. You know, if the client, you were going to say Monday, but the client doesn't need it till Friday and you deliver to it on Wednesday or Thursday, you've just over delivered, right, on your promise. And, you know, I don't think that's as much about sandbagging, if you will, as it is about being realistic with the time we have. And being respectful of our teammates, right? I might have time to deal with this, but maybe someone else that I need input from doesn't. So I think those things, back to communication, are really simple. And those are kind of the unforced errors that we once in a while will stub our toe on. And when I think about that, those are my tips. I would probably have two cautions too that kind of relate. Again, I alluded to this. Responding quickly with the wrong answer is not responsiveness, right?
Right.
Trying our best. But if you favor fast for, you know, replace bad, you know, fast and bad doesn't help us, right? It's the Navy SEALs, right? Sometimes we got to slow down and slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And that gets us ultimately where we want to go. So I would caution people, slow down, especially this time of year. You know, we're really busy. And the other one I see, I talked about Disney. Another thing I learned from Disney, you know, leave backstage backstage. And I completely agree with that. But sometimes there's a touch with a client and then there might be 10 steps we need to do internally before the next touch or giving the work product. And I think we need to pay attention and be engaged and understand that we might not want to show them those 10 steps in the background that are happening, but we got to be aware that, you know, there might be an appropriate time in the middle of that to give them a status update. Just a simple, hey, we got you. We're working on this can save you a lot of pain and save them pain. They shouldn't be stressed out about whether we're, you know, what are they doing back there? So those are probably two cautions I'd throw out with the tips.
Yeah, those are great tips. And it does strike me that, you know, these are things we have to learn often through experience. So
I'm not saying I've done any of those things wrong ever, Mike, and learned from hard experience myself, but I'm not saying it.
Well, I know. I'll just tell you, I mentioned I came from outside the firm and I do find myself being far more responsive in my professional life, but it's also bled off into my personal life. I'm late less than I used to be. I'm just from being around a culture of responsiveness, and that's absolutely true. So
love it.
It's improved my life. Let's just say that. John, is there anything else you want to add that we haven't talked about?
Sure. Maybe I'll just close with, you know, to me, if I step back from this, this is the fun part, right? This is the part where you individually and as a firm, you can really build your brand. If you talk to people, everyone has stories about times when they were up against it and the team stepped up big to get something, you know, over the finish line for a client and the circumstances were tough. And those are the things you end up remembering and being really proud of, right? Those war stories that, you know, if you go to the core of most of those stories, they're generally about our responsiveness, where we really went out of our way on responsiveness. So I would say, while I don't think I'm necessarily a greater authority on responsiveness than any others at Forvis, because we're great at this, and I am grateful to work with a huge and great team that's really great at this on a day-to-day basis. I probably would just end by reminding people, though, and you kind of alluded to this, to be intentional about responsiveness every day. One of my favorite speakers is Lou Holtz, and he said, life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I respond to it. So I think just that attitude of positivity and engagement and responsiveness gets you a long way, right? This is where our people can really differentiate themselves, even if they're relatively new, because it may not be easy, but it's simple.
Right.
And at the end of the day, people love working with and alongside people, just like you just said, that are engaged and responsive. And anyone can be that. So that's my takeaway for people to just remember.
Yeah. How did you say that again? It's not easy, but it's simple.
It is not easy, but it is simple.
I love that. And it's more important than ever, right? Because we're hearing all of these stories, and our firm is great at it, and we know other firms are pretty good at it, but we think we're maybe a little better. But overall, we're hearing stories about, you know, customer service, client service. It's just, it's not what it used to be, I guess, maybe is an easy way to say that. And so it's a chance for us, as you said, for us to differentiate and continue to differentiate over and above.
Agree 100%. Look at any of these companies, including ours, but Southwest Airlines, the Ritz-Carltons, the ones with really good net promoter scores, and they are super engaged and responsive to their customer base, right? I don't think that's a coincidence.
Right. Well, John, thanks for being engaged with us here today on the podcast. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for your work on all of this. And, you know, we look forward to seeing these values continue to be lived out every day.
Absolutely. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, onward and forward.
Thank you for listening to Along the Way, featuring conversations about our purpose, mission, vision, and values in action at Forvis. New episodes are produced each month. If you have an idea for a person or topic to be featured, email us at communication@forvis.com. Please join us again for more in-depth discussions about helping those we serve unlock their full potential. Until our next episode, onward and forward.